Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. Thank you, all of you, for joining us today. So, earlier this month, it was announced that Nigerian singer-songwriter Tiwa Savage signed a global music deal with the world's leading music company, Universal Music Group. Even though the details of the deal are not yet known, the deal between Universal and Tiwa Savage, the news that Tiwa Savage had signed with Universal Music Group was welcomed around the world, especially in Africa. Many saying that this was a positive sign, it was a good sign that finally the global appeal of African music was starting to attract the kind of attention, necessary attention, to catapult it to commercial success. There's no doubt that even though African music has a global appeal, people enjoying it around the world, from Africa to the US to Europe and many other parts of the world, that even though it has that global appeal and it's loved and liked, our artists still struggle to make a living from their music. Tiwa Savage herself agrees, and in recent interview says that there is a revolution going on in African music, and that she was humbled to be part of sharing that with a worldwide audience.
Spells on the beat. Tiwa Savage on this one, yeah. Whiskey, do you want mama?
It's very exciting. The support and the love is overwhelming. It's an exciting time, and I'm very humbled and very excited.
That is Tiwa Savage. She recently signed a global music deal with Universal Music. So right after the news broke that Tiwa Savage had signed that music deal with Universal Music, there was some debate, especially on social media, with some saying that as much as we celebrate this landmark achievement for Tiwa Savage, a very accomplished artist in our own rights, we have to take it with a grain of salt, given what happened with another Afrobeats star, Davido. See, in 2014, Davido signed with Sony, another major record label based here in the US. But after 1 year and one album with Sony, Davido walked away from that contract. Also, it is believed that he walked away from that contract because he felt that it was not the right fit for him. So the question is, what lessons do artists like Tiwa Savage and many others who sign deals with major record labels like Universal Music and Sony, what kind of lessons they take from Davido's experience? The other question, which I believe is the most important question, is what Tiwa's music deal, Tiwa Savage's music deal with Universal means for Afrobeats as a genre and African music in general. To help me discuss and get to the bottom of this, I had in the studio my colleague Tetenda Gumbo and my friend Beshu Gedamu. Tetenda says that this move by Universal is a testament to the global power and appeal of African music, and that the growth of streaming platforms like Spotify have made African music more accessible to a wider global audience.
I can listen to any artist that I want on my phone very easily. If they have their music on a streaming platform, I can listen to it. So I think that the appeal has a global sense now. So we saw it, I think, maybe like in the early 2000s with like dancehall in America, where everybody was like all big about dancehall. And then it kind of disappeared. But I think that at that time, the access to the music was a bit harder than it is now. But now it's like, if I listen to a Tiwa Savage song that I like once, I'm apt to go find it on my own. Or my own streaming platform will be like, oh, by the way, remember you played this a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that for African music, yes, it's a big deal to have a major label sign one person. But I think for that major label, it shows where music is going. And it shows that these labels have to jump on the train because it's moving and it's moving fast. And they just want to be part of that. And I think they should.
But that still doesn't answer some of the questions in Universal Music's long-term strategy for how to monetize Afrobeats to an audience that is not known for their consumption of African music. So does Universal plan to market Afrobeats to an American audience and not just the diaspora market? Or does it plan to expand access to the music on the continent by targeting the market, the African market, in new innovative ways that will get Africans to pay for the music made by artists like Tiwa Savage?
Robos get scared, robos get scared. If no be you, then tell me who. Them go sempe, them go sempe. Nobody messing with my boo. Robos get scared, robos get scared.
Africa has 1 billion people, a population of 1 billion. Over half of that is young people. Do you think they factored that into the the
yeah,
equation?
Yeah, I mean, particularly Afrobeat is a very interesting genre, right? I think particularly there's a system that works within Afrobeat. They have management companies, you know, within that whole genre. So I don't think it was difficult for them to self-manage. I think the level of exposure that they needed, the support that they needed, distribution, like how are you going to factor all of that mm-hmm. with such a large genre? Like, everybody can't manage, everybody can't distribute, you know? Like, what does that look like on a larger scale? And I think there aren't any music industries, or there isn't a music ecosystem within Africa, like, as a whole, right? There's Afrobeats, there's probably something in, you know, South Africa, but what does that look like as a whole for the continent?
Does that mean that Universal is going to invest in creating that ecosystem?
I mean,
they might look at it and say, this is such a big task.
But that's the thing, is that we have to remember that Afrobeat really is essentially Nigerian.
Yeah.
We see collaborations across the continent between like Kenya, Zimbabwe, South Africa. You'll see like Tanzania as well with Afrobeat artists, but that's really a core group of people coming from one country.
Right.
So when we talk about even streaming platforms and where Universal is signing a Nigerian artist, which kind of means that they're in Nigeria. Now, are they in South Africa? Are they in Kenya?
Right.
Are they in Tanzania? Are they in Ethiopia? Wherever, they're really not. And also streaming platforms aren't even there as well, too. I mean, Apple Music really is only found in so many countries on the continent. Spotify, so many countries on the continent. So it's a question of, like, even if they are there, they're signing someone, what kind of music are they signing? And does that mean that somebody who lives in a particular country on the continent is actually going to go buy music or have the ability to even buy it and or stream it?
How we understood these record labels to function and how they make money was that an artist would be able to sell their music.
Mm-hmm.
These days, nobody buys music.
Mm.
Also, African artists, many of them that I've spoken to, say they don't get money from people buying their music.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they make money?
You know, I think a lot of it is touring nowadays and merchandising, right? We all have access to Spotify. We all have access to streaming devices. Even in Africa, we may not have access to Spotify, but we have access to YouTube. Music videos are a big deal. They get paid off of these music videos that they generate. That's content. Any sort of content that's generated, they get paid for. Like you said, I don't think Africans... They can press as many CDs as they want, but we're not going to buy all these CDs. You know, we're either ripping or we're streaming or we're watching it on TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that shift, I don't know when that shift is going to happen or when that ecosystem is going to happen, but Universal being in Nigeria or signing a Nigerian artist is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Universal is the largest music label. So they're not just out to just sign Tiwa Savage. I think Tiwa is a sign of we want access,
to
that market,
mm-hmm.
and this is how we get access to that market.
Do you think Tiwa Savage is going to run into the same issues or same roadblocks that Davido leave his? Do you see that in terms of creativity?
I don't know. I mean, right? We don't know what kind of deals were signed. We don't know what kind. Is it management? Was it distribution? Or there's so many nuances to all these contracts.
Mm.
So, and how long were these contracts for? Like, are they signing for, you know, 2 to 3 albums? What does that look like? There's so many details to this. But I think somebody of Tiwa Savage's caliber understands what comes with that. And it's just going to be interesting to see that relationship, whether it flourishes or not. I think that was going to determine how they move forward.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Tiwa Savage on this one, yeah. Whiskey, do you want mama? Make it animals to tingle. This guy in Tina never see, yo. My pressure, they high, got me down, whoa, whoa. My girl, hold on to me, yo. Never ever leave me for crash.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. In the studio with me is Tatenda Gumbo and Beshu Gedamu. We're talking about the significance of the deal between Universal Music, a major record label here in the U.S., recently signing Tiwa Savage, one of Afrobeat's biggest stars on the continent of Africa. What that deal means for African music and for her as a person, as an artist, but also for African music and other artists on the continent. And reports show that this is not the first foray by Universal into African music. In 2018, it was reported that Universal acquired a majority stake in the Kenyan-based AI Records, and they opened offices in Lagos and in Abidjan, in Ivory Coast. We also saw interest from other American record labels scrambling to get a piece of that African music pie, if you can put it that way. Warner Music recently struck a deal with Nigerian Afrobeats label Chocolate City, and of course Sony Music signed with Wizkid and Davido.
Now, when we go into DC right here or in New York, go to into any club, like you said earlier, they play Afrobeat. WKYS and other urban stations around the U.S. WKYS is an urban station based here in Washington, D.C. They play Davido, even though they play only one song, Davido. It's like they only know one song. But did you think that they factored in the diaspora market? Do you think the diaspora market really matters to these people?
I mean, now they do, right? Like, right. I think now they do. Within the last few years, the diaspora market now matters. You can go to any urban club in Washington, D.C., and I'd say anywhere in America now, and listen and hear Afrobeat. It may be that same Davido song, maybe that same Tiwa Savage song from 5 years ago, but they're playing it. Yeah. They understand there's a market for it. They understand there are Africans in their audiences that want to hear that, the same way they play dancehall from 5 years ago, all these. So, like, everything has its place. And I think they're recognizing that. The fact that radio stations are playing that is a big deal. Like, that's a big deal for the African artist.
So that also means that they acknowledge or they recognize the purchasing power of this demographic.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at even radio, as you're saying. I mean, a lot of times people have always argue that radio would play the same 20 songs, no matter where you were, if you're in the States, right? And but you start to see that, like, if one of those 20 songs is a particular song, had it been trap music when it was big, or right now, as you see, it's Afrobeats, it just kind of shows you that the market is interested in that, and they can make money off of that music. So radio play is kind of like a show to say what is the industry interested in, what does industry want to
it's
put
like
their money
like a barometer
behind.
In a way,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, BET has a category for African music. So I mean, that's just a trend. I think it's only a matter of time until there's sort of official recognition in all sort of, you know, aspects of the culture.
So aside from the excitement that Tiwa Savage signed to this global music label, because African artists, like, I feel like they get really excited. We do get excited too. Is this a plus? What do you guys think? What do you forecast in the next couple of years?
I mean, I think it's a plus, but I would just hope that this translates into kind of building that infrastructure on the continent. So that way we can say if we have a universal music group. I know Roc Nation did some stuff in Nigeria too, where they sent, I think, one of the A&Rs to go find talent. And that's, I think, what Tiwa Savage and those
guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
But again, it's kind of like, what does that exactly mean for the larger space and the larger, like, musicians on the continent? Because again, I'm biased, right? I love Afrobeat. But as a Zimbabwean, I also want to see artists who are from my country or from my region. And I love South African house music. I love Casper Nyovest, and I want to see him get signed to a major label. But I think right now the fascination is in Afrobeat. And so it is a plus, but then sometimes, you know, we kind of have tunnel vision to stuff. So it's like we're tunnel vision on Afrobeat and not willing to expand to the other genres that are
building.
Do
you see them being willing to test out the market and it works, and then they branch out to these other genres like house music and others on the continent?
I mean, they might. I think it's inevitable. But
I mean, these guys command a lot of audiences. Casper has millions of followers on social media. He fills up the O2 Arena, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's only a matter of time. I would say that I'm always cautious of labels signing artists because it's not always to the artist's benefit. At some point.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, what I would like to see is African music creating its own ecosystem. You know, I don't care if it's Nigeria, it's South Africa. I think having that ecosystem where they can distribute, they can manage, even to us on a smaller scale, that, okay, we need Universal's help, but we only need them to distribute. Like, we don't need them on an all, you know, 360 deal.
We can make music. Right.
I think understanding art, and I think that's what, that might have been what Tiwa did, because I think Tiwa understands also her place and her clout and her power within this ecosystem. So the deal that she probably signed is beneficial to her and her team.
And nothing stops an African artist on doing that too, because a lot of artists are pushing back on major labels. They want you to distribute their content, but other than that, it's kind of like, I'm coming to the table that I have. You see, I mean, Nipsey Hussle just passed away, but he owned all his masters. You have like 21 Savage, who owns all his masters. So it's like they're coming to the table and saying, here's my following, here's what I have, here's my clout, and we need to work around what I want.
People are waking up to their own power.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Beshu Gedamu, Tetenda Gumbo. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let us know what you think. Do you think this is a plus for African music, African culture, for Afrobeats that Tiwa Savage was able to sign this big global musical contract? And let us know what you think.
This is Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thanks to all of you who are just joining us. And from Nigeria, talking about music, the deal between Universal and Tiwa Savage, we go to Kenya, where Upfront correspondent Joey Mutengi sits down for a chat with a group of young Kenyan social entrepreneurs.
Joey Mutengi here for Upfront, and today we're coming to you from Nairobi, Kenya, and we're delving into the non-profit world, especially for young Kenyans today. I've got a couple of them sitting here with me, and they're going to tell me about their involvement in various aspects of the non-profit world, starting with Billion Ojiwa, who's a team leader of Picha Uchi and Billion Music Family. He does a lot with the community. Picha Uchi is about restoring dignity to primary school-going students, providing them with decent school uniforms. And he'll tell us more about his music family that is based in Mathare, which is one of Kenya's largest slums. So Billion, welcome to Upfront.
Thank you.
Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and then we'll speak to the friends that you brought today.
I lead interesting teams that are providing uniforms through the Picha Uchi and my foundation in Mathare, that we create awareness on social issues around Mathare through education and entertainment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have a resource center in Mathare that does that. But basically, the Picha Uchi, which is very, very close to my heart, we provide uniforms to kids, students in primary schools across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us about your background and how that has impacted you going into the non-profit world, because you grew up in Mathare, in the slum.
Yeah. Growing up in Mathare was not easy, so that is one of the things that made me to try and help others, because I was also helped. So I lost my parents when I was pretty young. Mm-hmm. So basically the community gave me or built me to where I am today. My school fees were paid by different people, and it was just interesting. So I just wanted to make sure that the platform that I got, I give back and help others also from my community, because the circle is, it's just the line, it's mm-hmm. just it's too long.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Bravin and Ezekiel, who you brought with you. Perhaps you guys can introduce yourselves and tell us what capacity you play in Billion's foundation.
My name is Bravin Odur. Billion is my boss, and like, is not just my boss, but also my mentor. He has helped me a lot, and I'm a member of one of his organization, Billion Music Family Leadership and Resource Center. So, I'm a member in library sector. I help children, primary, both primary and secondary school. So I help them in, let's say, like sciences, where they find difficulty in their finishing of syllabus. So that's all.
Okay, thank you, Bravin.
Okay, I'm Ezekiel Mnyoki. I work at Billion Music Family. Billion is like a father to me. He mentors me in music and other social activities and communal. What I do in the center, I coordinate schools outreach. We usually go to schools, like we have 4 schools that we teach the kids to play music instruments and also to nurture their talents in music, rap. Yeah, we also have a program that we welcome the kids to our center every Saturday from morning. We give them time, we teach them, we mentor them, and we also take them to festivals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Billion, let's talk about you as a young Kenyan. Most young Kenyans have the mentality of making money or finding employment. That is our priority when we, you know, complete our studies or what have you. So when you talk about non-profit, for someone who's a young African saying, I need to make money first before I start giving back, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think for me, I think I followed my passion. And we always thought that money follows the passion. When we started, we used to practice at a primary school. So we used to borrow one of the classrooms. But right now we've had partners on board who are willingly investing to see that some of our programs are running. And some of organizations, we even do like consultancy for them. So that is, I think, for us was just laying the foundation, and now the money has followed. So for young people, I think one thing that we want is we want things quick. We don't want to sit down.
We're living in that age. Microwave generation, I thought. You want things instantly.
Yeah. So if we just can take your time to understand and work on what you want to achieve, then I think with time the money will follow.
Yeah. Brandon or Ezekiel, either you can speak on this. What is the biggest change that you've seen in the work that you are doing with the Billion Music family, in mentoring younger people?
For us, I can say that when we were kids, we usually had dreams to be like the stars on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a great joy to me when I see that I have that platform to give another kid a platform to nurture their talents at Billion Music Center. Yeah.
Okay. Ravin, do you have a comment on that?
For me, through my experience in Billion Music Family, I can say it has changed me, and also that impact has made me to like change those who are around me. So like Billion has motivated me a lot. Like my confidence, I was like a shy guy, but Billion has made that confidence just come automatically. So even me, that impact, I need to put on those who fear, like expressing their talents and their passion in life.
Right. So through mentorship, you've been able to come out of your shell and also be able to help others. Billion, do you think Kenyans or Africans in general are charitable people? Because sometimes it feels like when we think of nonprofit, we're thinking of Western people coming to save us.
It used to be hard to convince people. I think it's because of the history of the things that have been there. We have even today so many briefcase organizations that are making it hard for even the Kenyans to trust the people who are in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So but we've seen a couple of people and even organizations and companies coming out, for example, to support Future Uchi. We've been doing what we are doing just through the support of people in Kenya. So I think we are growing towards that, but it's going to take time because of the reputation that we have as a country.
Yeah, in terms of corruption, I think all African countries can probably relate to that. So you've talked about partnerships several times in your Future Uchi campaign, which is raising money for primary school students to be able to have proper school uniforms. Is there funding coming in for you as a non-profit organization leader? Does it have a lot to do with the partnerships that you've made, and how do you go about establishing those partnerships?
So basically for Future Uchi, everything that we get goes straight into 100% to supporting the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, even the organization that we've been partnering with, we'll tell them that this is the breakdown, how we're going to use your money.
Mm-hmm.
And since we don't have administration cost, we don't have a physical office,
mm-hmm.
so that one goes straight into that. But now for my organization, we have different partners who, some of them, they just want to support the administration cost to make sure that these guys are moving around and are able to to sustain that. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so tell us about some of your biggest achievements with the Ficha Uchi campaign, because you guys have raised a lot of money for a lot of uniforms. Give us some figures.
I think the biggest achievement for me is, I say it's a story. One time we were at Madaraka Primary School, and after giving the uniform, one of the kids came and asked me, "Teacher, is this mine? Can I go with it home?" So that one just changed how I used to look at things. And some of these students, even after giving them uniforms, they could not believe that those uniforms are theirs to keep. So those are one of the biggest achievements for me, seeing that lives of young people are turning around 360 degrees. Mm-hmm. And we've given uniforms to over 4,000 students.
Wow.
And our belief is this is helping them to restore their dignity and confidence and being able to express and even participate in some of the activities in the classroom.
Wow.
And eventually that one, I think, translates into a better performance.
Yeah.
So those are the achievements that we can say as Ficha Uchi.
What more do you hope to achieve with your campaign or your music family or just your future in general?
I think, and we work with young people from universities in Ficha Uchi, and I involve so many young people. I believe that we have so many challenges as a country, and if we empower young people to tackle one or two challenges within the community level, we'll be able to move as a country. So my dream is to just see young people, not to sit back and wait for the government to do things for them,
mm-hmm.
but try to get solutions for different problems or challenges that we have in the communities.
Yeah.
So that is my projection in the 5, 10, 20 years, to see how to involve more young people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't intend to keep them forever at the center, but I want it to be an eye-opener for them to start mm-hmm. seeing and also start solving problems within their communities.
Yeah. We're going to take one final word from each of you to someone who might be listening and might be interested in giving back, but feeling like they don't have a lot to give right now. So how are you asking me to give when I barely can survive on my own? So we'll start with you, Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can... It doesn't matter the cash that you have in the pocket or what you gain from working, but also the talk that you can give somebody, it's just it can be the mentor. You don't know what he or she is going through, but you can just say something which is positive that can change his or her life. Yeah.
That's a very good word. All right, Robin?
So as my colleague Ezekiel said, it's not all about cash. It's what you do. So something you do small can make a big impact to someone.
All right, thank you. Finally, Binyan, same question to you.
Oh, same question. For me, I think we, like they said, sometimes you can volunteer time. And when we're asking for volunteers, right now we're asking for science teachers to come and spend 1 or 30 minutes to teach students. Mm-hmm. It goes a long, long, long way. And sometimes we might not see it as important or going change somebody's life, but it's very important. And even money, it's less than 1,000 shillings.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we are asking guys, you can commit to buy one uniform the whole year. I'm sure if you donate, even if it's 10 shillings or 50 shillings, you'll be able to provide a kid with a uniform for the whole year. So it's just how you arrange yourself and put priorities if you really, really want to support.
Yeah.
So support comes from the heart, not from the pocket.
Not from the pocket.
Yeah.
Start where you are and grow from there.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much, Billion, Bravin, and Ezekiel, for making time for us today and talking more about what it's like to be a young African in the world of nonprofit and community work. Appreciate you very much. This is Upfront. My name is Joey Muthengi from Nairobi, Kenya.
We want to thank you, Joey Muthengi. Make sure to connect with her on Twitter at Joey_Muthengi. Also connect with her on Instagram. Her Instagram is always popping. Definitely check it out and follow her. And many thanks to our guests and to you, our listeners. Our website is voanews.com. Look for Upfront Show. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. We do have great stories posted on our Facebook page. When you go to Facebook, just search Upfront VOA. and like the page, share with your friends, and leave us a message. And we always love hearing from you. Remember, as the elders say, no matter how full the river is, it still wants to grow. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye, Africa.
This is VOA News. I'm